Don't matter kind of loving you're into, or how big your apartment might be. All you need's an air conditioner, and you're the man for me.
And welcome back to Rosie on the House, where we're doing everything we can today to educate you to a homeowner's level about air conditioning and what it does, how it gets it done, and what you need to know about should you be experiencing troubles, dilemmas, or the dreaded hot and cold spots throughout the house. We're here talking with Andrew Dobbins of Intelligent Design. Andrew, you get that phone call? I've got one room in the house. I can't keep the temperature I want.
Yes, sir. Happens all the time. I would say about 70% of the homes that we go into has this issue. And so whenever we're doing a replacement system, one of the questions is, hey, do you have this problem and do you want to fix it?
It's incredible how long people will live with that and they just accept it as that's just the way it is.
They just think, oh, the number one thing I hear is, well, the sun hits that side of the building, so of course it gets hotter. Well, I understand that the heat is coming from the sun, but you should be compensating for that with cooling. And so getting more air to that room fixes the issue. Now, if the AC kicks off, like let's say it's oversized and it turns off, well, then you have no air moving. So that air in the room that has the sun is going to get hotter than the shaded room. So if we can blend and mix the air, that's one of the solutions, not being oversized. But also, if you're replacing your system, heavily consider a blower with multiple speeds, like a variable speed blower. We can blend and mix the air and get you more even comfort in the house.
I mean, we were talking about the evolution of refrigerant and the evolution it required in equipment. And we were talking about some of the downsides to what that's caused the industry over the last decade. But, you know, the increase in efficiency has actually, it's been exponential.
Huge.
I mean, from where we were installing SEER rated units of 4, 5, 6, and 7.
That's right.
You know, just 15, 20 years ago. I mean, you can reasonably purchase equipment well above 15, 16, 18, 20.
25.
In a ducted system.
Yes, sir.
That's incredible.
Absolutely.
And I think what people don't realize is in this increased efficiency, in my argument, the increased efficiency is one more reason you probably don't have to buy the same size equipment you've currently got. We're going to put a variable speed on that, which is like a throttle that automatically interprets how hard it needs to be running, as opposed to the old single speed units that when they were on, it was either on or off.
I like to compare it to a car. If you were driving your car and you're at a stoplight, you have a stick shift, and only fourth gear is working, how much gas and how hard on the engine is it to get that thing to 45 miles an hour? Now, if you're on a freeway going straight at 45, no big deal. Fourth gear is great. But once you hit another stoplight, that's a problem. These air conditioners, they're stop and go in the city. If you only have that fourth gear, that's a problem. So now we have systems with lots of gears and much more efficiency.
And the intelligence to be able to determine what gear do I need to be in.
That's right.
So that alone has increased the SEER ratings a long ways. And then with the science of just what we were talking about earlier, the duct integrity, just getting them sealed up properly.
That's right. That's one of the reasons we test the ductwork on every time we're out to a home for a system replacement. We are testing the ductwork, and a lot of our technicians we've trained to do the same test and carry that equipment because it is such a rampant problem. If you have hot and cold pockets, there's a good chance that you have duct leakage. If you've put on balancing registers and you still have hot and cold pockets, it may be because you've created additional pressure by restricting the air to an area that gets plenty of air and tried to get it over to the bad area, but you just blew it into the attic instead.
And a lot of times, people with a hot spot house in the summer switch the fan motor to on in hope of just stirring the air more. That has a downside.
Well, the energy loss could be the downside, but if the unit is off and you're running the blower and it's the peak season, you're going to absorb heat from the attic. And if you have leaking ductwork, you're going to then pull dusty air into the leak points. It's called the Venturi effect. If you have fast rushing wind on one side of an object, you cause negative pressure on the other side, a vacuum, and you suck attic air into your breathable space after the filter.
Then the humidity goes up to our monsoon season.
Yes, sir.
And the air conditioner's job is take all the humidity out, convert it to condensation, put it in a pan, and drain it out to the flower bed.
That's right.
But we leave the fan on.
You absorb and you get higher humidity levels.
You're blowing the humidity right back in the house, asking the air conditioner to do the work.
That's right.
That it did when the compressor was running a few minutes ago.
Precisely.
So we encourage people, you can play with 24-hour fan motors in the shoulder seasons.
That's right.
But once we move into the monsoon season, that really isn't a good strategy for your equipment or your indoor air quality.
Absolutely.
So we eliminate that. Other hot and cold spot strategies, I mean, we've solved it by just some strategic locations of return airs.
Absolutely. Now, we've found that if you can definitely do it with return, but if you already have enough return and you design the supply properly where the air is going where it needs to, all the air cycles back around to the return if those doors are open. If you're closing doors to those rooms and there's no outlet for the air, then you need a return or a transfer grill. But the best thing to do is just get our guys out there to do an analysis on the home, and we'll figure it out for you. You guys don't have to know all the science and engineering. That's what we do.
How much money are the empty nesters saving when the kids move out of the hall bedrooms and they close the registers of vents, close the doors, and only ask the air conditioner to now operate and cool 80% of the house?
Well, the insulation on the outside of the house is not also on the interior walls. So the heat that absorbs into that room then transfers into the main house, and you're not getting, those rooms are hotter, but you're not saving much, and you're creating back pressure on the system. We talked about back pressure in the beginning of the segment, and it's a big issue. If you create the back pressure, you can break your blower motor, your coil, and compressor by doing that.
You may think you're saving money because you're not paying to have the air conditioner work to deliver cold air to that room, but it's actually increasing the wear and tear on your equipment, and it isn't a good strategy.
Not at all.
The equipment was designed to satisfy the demands of the entire area. You hope it was designed that way.
That's right.
You know, if it's designed correctly, ductwork, equipment size, and everything else, and you need to allow it to service that whole area.
Absolutely.
So What are some of the other things y'all find when you're dealing with hot and cold spots? We've already kind of listed through oversized equipment, poor register design.
Duct leakage is the big one.
Duct leakage is the big one.
Yeah. So the if you're not replacing the systems, you can redesign ductwork, you can seal ductwork, you can add balancing registers. Those are big. One of the other issues that we find when someone has hot and cold pockets is they also have a lot of dust in the house many times. And that's because of the leaking ductwork. It's pulling in that hot attic air. So when you solve one problem, you also solve the other. People tell me all the time, hey, you know, and ask them if you have a lot of dust in the house. They're like, of course we do. It's Tucson. Yes.
Right, right.
Right?
They think they have to live with it.
Right. You don't have to have the desert in your house. You're pulling that in through your supply if the ducts leak. And so we can come out, do the test for you, and find out if that's the issue.
Let's talk a little bit about that dust and the filtering options y'all give people when you're looking at their equipment.
Absolutely. So
starting from the bottom.
So
you got the 79-cent by 12 in a pack spun fiberglass units.
We call those your boulder catchers, and they catch the big stuff. What's going to end up happening is your blower motor will get dirty and your coil will get dirty. You're going to have expensive cleanings later on where you have to disassemble and clean. Otherwise, if you get 1/8 inch of dust on the blower motor, you can cut your efficiency by 20% to 30%. And then if you restrict the coil, it's the same as any other restriction. You have lots of problems. So those have to be cleaned, and you'll eventually need that with those boulder catcher filters.
Step up.
Then you have your basic cheap paper filters, which they do an okay job for a paper filter. And we prefer those to the really high grade paper filters like the Filtrete 3M that Costco sells. Those are an incredible amount of back pressure, and so much so that you hurt the unit, and dust will then go around the filter into the system anyway because it's so highly restrictive. And so you want good filtration so you don't have the cleanings and you have clean air, but then you don't want the back pressure. So you have some technicians will tell you one way, another technician will tell you the other way. And really, we need both. We need low back pressure and good filtration. But the only way to do that is the highest level, which is an electronic air cleaner. And you can put that in with a very low level of resistance, but run an electric current through there that creates an electromagnetic field. And it can purify and clean 100 times more effectively than your best paper filter on the market.
What's the maintenance of a system like that?
It's pretty simple. Just like your paper filters need to be changed once every 30 days in the summertime, you pull this out once every 30 days. You can use a vacuum hose and clean off the underside, or you can hose it off. And then every fourth month, you replace the filter media. And you just, it costs you about $80 a year for those media replacements.
Well, I guess the moral of the story is we'd like Tucson area homeowners to know you do not have to live with hot and cold spots.
That's right.
It isn't a given.
Absolutely.
In a system that's designed right. And you don't have to live in a dusty house in the middle of the summer when your doors and windows are closed. Okay, if you're like me and in March and October you like the windows and doors open, you're going to deal with a certain amount of
absolutely
dust. That's just the way it is. But July, August, when everything's closed up and you're only accessing inside and out, you know, going in and out the doors to get in and out of the house, your house shouldn't be dusty.
You can have a clean living environment, absolutely.
And ductwork is a big problem for that. Filtration's a big problem for that. The return air plenum. Can we talk about that just a little bit?
Because
we've talked about supply duct integrity quite a bit, but how about the return air from the air that we're now sucking from inside the house?
That's right.
Reintroducing it to the air handling equipment. That passage is pretty important as well.
So it's actually more important than the supply. You know, there are more leak points available in the supply, but a leak in the return is far worse. If you have only a 15% leak in the return, you will cut your efficiency in half. Your attics are about 160 degrees or so in the peak of the summer. And when you have, let's say you have a furnace in the closet or the garage and the underside of that is not sealed, those connect to hollow walls that lead right up to the attic. And you're then pulling hot attic air down into your system and having to remove that heat, and it costs a ton of your efficiency.
And this is after the filter.
This is actually before the filter.
I'm thinking of like a deck-mounted unit where the filter's out in the hall and the deck area isn't protected well.
Then you're right, yeah. So if you have the filter in the ceiling or on the outside, it's after the filter. If you have the filter underneath the furnace, then it's before the filter.
Which is the better of the two.
It's the better of the two. But the worst thing with other than the efficiency and all the dirt and everything, if your furnace is in the garage and you have a leak out there, what other gases and things are going on in the garage? I mean, you're pulling your car in there, carbon monoxide leaching out of the tailpipe, and then you're sucking that right into the house.
Well, and then how many of those air handling units in the garage, when you open the door, there's maybe a kerosene can or
yes,
turpentine can.
Paint cans, absolutely.
Paint thinner can.
That's right.
You know, that are all stored right there next to the air handling unit. It's a horrible, that should be a pristine environment.
That's right.
That's the air you're breathing.
Yeah. So when we look at systems, we look to seal the return cavity heavily and insulate it because the garage is hot. So we want to insulate that cavity as well.
Well, we're taking you through your air conditioning system from the return air register through the air handling equipment, over the coils, down the supply registers, and out into your room with Andrew Dobbins of Intelligent Design, Rosie Certified Central Heating and Cooling Specialist, serving the entire Pima County area. We'll be back to wrap up right after this short break. Don't go anywhere.